Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on InfoWars.com.
We begin this week's Counterthink program with an extraordinary realization. Things are starting to catch on. I just saw Derek Hunter, a columnist with Town Hall. He's got a podcast as well. He's published a story on February 10th, 2019, titled, "The Democratic Party Needs to Be Destroyed Before It Destroys the Country." Yeah, I know. In fact, his article today reads like my warning from, you know, a year ago. He's explaining that the Democrats have unmasked and they have come out as who they truly are, which is destroyers of worlds, destroyers of society, rooted in not just incredible evil, but also an intense hatred for everything that America stands for. They have intense hatred for the Constitution, the flag, a meritocracy, you know, a society where people are rewarded for hard work. They hate capitalism. They hate the free market system. They hate entrepreneurship. They hate private ownership of business. And I could go on and on. You know that they hate everything that America stands for. But the point is that now we're starting to see, I mean, this is on townhall.com. We're starting to see more mainstream conservatives finally coming around and realizing the Democrat Party has to be destroyed or America is finished. And I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. Yes, the Democrat Party has to be obliterated, not just defeated politically, but exterminated like the cockroaches they are. Now, I'm not talking about violence against individuals. I'm talking about the extermination of the ideology of the Democrat Party, because that ideology is now so strongly anti-America and also so strongly rooted in extreme evil, even demonic Satanism, as I've covered in previous episodes. And I'll talk a little bit about that here. But the Democrat Party is no longer pretending to be the party that wants to protect children. Now they just want to murder children and legalize it. It's infanticide. That's what Democrats stand for. The Democrat Party no longer is pretending they want border security. Now they're just like, have everybody flood in, just overrun America, take it over, it's done. And another important point here is that the Democrat Party no longer even pretends to operate with respect for civility, the law, you know, the rule of law, or due process or justice at all. What we now see is Democrats running a two-tiered system of everything, a two-tiered justice system where it's only conservatives that are indicted, a two-tiered culture where it's only conservatives who can't wear blackface, but Democrats, like the governor of Virginia, can wear blackface, and they don't have to resign. Nothing happens to them. It's a two-tiered system. Everything is two-tiered now, from culture to the internet, where conservatives can't speak. They get censored. They get blacklisted. But Democrats and progressives, they can say anything they want, even calling for the murder of Christians or the murder of Trump or violence against the Covington Catholic high school kids, and nothing happens to them. They don't get censored. Everything is two-tiered now because the Democrats, it boils down to this. The Democrats realize, well, they've long known this, the Democrats are the party of violence and coercion. They are the bullies. And they use violence or the threat of violence, i.e. Robert Mueller's FBI terror raid on Roger Stone, they use violence to get their way, or the threat of violence. They use coercion and bullying tactics. And then they proclaim themselves to be tolerant and inclusive. But of course, they exclude everyone with whom they disagree. So the Democrats are the party that must be exterminated from our society, completely obliterated, not allowed to come back into existence, not allowed to have power over us ever again. It is time to stand up and not just defeat them, but absolutely exterminate them, again, like the cockroaches that their ideology represents. That's what must happen if we are to save America. Finally, it's becoming a mainstream idea. We'll be back with more here on Counterthink.
Warning. Take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Now, I've got a lot of topics to cover today on Counterthink, not just the why we have to utterly destroy the Democrats because they are completely insane and they will destroy our society. They will lead us into a dark path of tyranny and much more. But I've got something else to mention here, something that shows you who these people are at a whole new level. And I'm talking about the Brazilian faith healer known as John of God. Now, John of God proclaimed himself to be this amazing psychic healer, this spiritual healer, this faith healer. And he was this new agey guy. And he always had this glowing, oh, he wore these white robes and glowing talk about how much universal love is going to protect you. Oprah had him on. Yeah, he was on Oprah. And Oprah made him even more famous, and all these people went to him. Well, it turns out, what we now know, you won't believe this unless you've read the stories. So he used this power and this influence over people to not only rape reportedly 600 women as part of his spiritual healing, by the way. He would rape them. He would penetrate them and say that this is what needs to happen for you to be healed. But, I mean, that's just the beginning. He also ran a child trafficking sex slave farm, a baby factory where he would rape women. He had a farm of women, and he would rape them and make them have babies, and then he would sell off the babies in a massive child trafficking operation. And then after the mothers would have babies for about 10 years, reportedly, he would have them killed because then, well, their work for him was done. And this was all happening in Brazil. He had been receiving 10,000 visitors a month, reportedly, and he carried out the so-called spiritual surgeries. And, you know, the left-wing media and, frankly, the New Age movement made him a superstar. And the reason I bring this up is because he is not alone. And I have encountered people in my many years of being involved in alternative medicine, natural medicine, studying many, many things from sound healing, energy healing, nutrition, lab science, you know, analytical science, mass spec. I have encountered people just like this John of God in the sense that they hide their evil behind a bunch of New Age positive talk. There are people out there who are predators. They are sociopaths. They are mass murderers. And they wear glowing white robes. And they proclaim to be men or women of God, or sometimes they use different language. They're the cosmic, karmic chakra healers. And by the way, I'm not saying all these people are bad. I'm not saying that everybody that's into that is bad. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that some bad people use that as a cover. And they will come forth and they'll talk to you about their healing crystals and their chakra centers and their sacred geometry, right? And behind the scene, they are the most evil, sociopathic murderers, killers, rapists that you can possibly imagine. And they have infiltrated the New Age movement. And again, I have to say, not everybody in the New Age movement is bad. There are a lot of well-meaning people in it. There are a lot of truly gifted healers in it. But really bad people use it as a cover. And they have infiltrated the New Age movement. And they use it to get intimate with people. Especially men getting intimate with women victims. And then abusing and exploiting their apparent authority and speaking this insane language, this New Age flowery, everything is great language, which, by the way, includes all the transgenderism stuff, too. It's all about you can be whatever you want to be. There are no rules. You know, a man can be a woman. A woman can be a man. This is all part of it. the whole New Age movement is all pro-transgenderism now. And in that movement, there is incredible human filth and criminal sociopaths. And this John of God guy, I mean, look at his name, John of God. Really? It should be more like John of Satan, right? Because that's what he was really doing, was murdering. I mean, he had a sex slave farm to give birth to babies for human trafficking and then murdered the mothers. And this was on top of all the raping that he was doing. It's just incredible. There was another case, and I don't recall where I heard this, but there was a case, I think there was a documentary on this, where a young man was seeking help from a so-called New Age healer who happened to be gay. And the gay man forced him. Yeah, there's a documentary on this. The gay man had like a whole cult following, a group, and he forced himself. He convinced the young man that having gay sex with him was going to be his therapy. And even though the young man was not gay, he was controlled and influenced into these, you know, anal intercourse acts by this gay supposed healer, the supposed, you know, guru guy. And he was raping this guy, and he made the young kid pay for it, to pay for therapy. So let me get this straight. So a young man wants to have some therapy because he's having problems in his life. He goes to see the guru. The guru repeatedly rapes him with gay anal intercourse and then charges the kid for the therapy session. Whoa! And this went on apparently for years, according to the documentary. Now, eventually that guru was caught, but not before he had destroyed the lives of just countless people. And you see, this is why I have always warned people, don't worship gurus. There is no human being that is your God. Doesn't exist. Don't worship any human. If you're going to worship somebody, worship the real God. And you don't need to have the message of God translated through some guru. Because most of those gurus are exploiting, they're faking it, they're criminals, they're sociopaths, they are harming people, they're raping women. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many yoga instructors are just mass rapists. I'm serious. I mean, the male yoga instructor is just raping women all the time. You wouldn't believe how many massage therapists are actually engaged in sexual aggression of one kind or another. You wouldn't believe how many psychologists and psychiatrists have sex with their patients. And see, this isn't just in New Age realms. This is also across mainstream Western medicine. Psychiatrists that prescribe drugs to patients are frequently involved in sexual relationships with their own patients while they're making their patients pay, just like that other gay rape guru guy was doing to that young kid. If you give another human being authority over you and you worship them like a god, you are putting yourself in an extremely dangerous situation. And yet people want to believe in somebody. So if there's gurus who can talk the talk and they claim to be like a messenger of purity and everything's positive and everything's all good news all the time, then they can be very convincing to some people. They never tell you the truth. They just tell you what you want to hear so they can get your pants off or whatever they're into. It's sick. I mean, a human trafficking sex slave farm? And he called himself John of God? And he claimed to be a psychic surgeon? That's sick. We'll be back with something different.
Countering the brain-dead propaganda of the status quo. This is Counterthink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
All right, let's talk about the real God here, and let's talk about the book of Revelation. So in the last segment, we covered the fake gurus, the fake gods, who try to convince other humans to worship them while they're actually raping people like crazy and engaged in human sex trafficking and who knows what else. I mean, organ harvesting too, probably. That's why I say never worship another human being. Don't do it. Don't. It's dangerous. If you're going to worship somebody, worship the real God. But let's talk about the real God. So according to biblical scholars, the Bible is a book that was written by multiple authors who were inspired by the Word of God. And God, of course, is a supernatural being. He has such incredible power that apparently in the Bible, he has also the ability to see the future. Now, this is because there are many, many predictions in the Bible going back 2,700 years, and many of the predictions came true over subsequent centuries and so on, and there are many more yet to come, such as what's written in the book of Revelation. Now, I want you to think about something here. In the Christian faith, we talk about God being the creator of the universe. And I believe that's true. If God created the universe, he also created all the laws of physics, including the laws of gravity, the laws of mass, of electromagnetism, and also the laws of the flow of time. The flow of time is an artificial construct. And many people believe, and I've toyed with this idea as well, that God has actually created the entire cosmos and created really a simulation that we are inserted into. So this world, this 3D space, is really kind of like a virtual reality on a cosmic scale. And the real world is the spirit world where we are close to God, i.e. heaven. But this world, this realm, this earth is really a simulation. It's a training ground. It's not real in the greater sense. But we're here, and it feels real, and it looks real. Well, since God created all of this, God can alter the laws of physics at any time. That's why he can look at the entire timeline of human history, including the future, because to God, the flow of time is not set in stone, where you and I, we always experience time from the past to the present, to the future, and it's always linear, and it's always in the same direction. God doesn't have to look at time that way. So God can see all time simultaneously, because obviously he created time. He created space. He created the fabric of the cosmos. So he can see all time, which means he's able to see the future, or at least the most likely future of human activity, and that information was passed to the authors of the book of Revelation and many other segments of the Bible, thousands of years ago. And you might ask, well, why would he bother to do that? Well, it's clear to me that Earth is a testing ground, and there are two forces battling it out. There's God and there's Satan. And God is, it's almost like they're running an experiment. God created this world and put souls into it, that's your consciousness and so on, to see if you're given human freedom and free will, can you be a good person? Can you protect life? Can you earn your existence? And when you leave this world, you are judged back in heaven, right? Which is the real world, the higher spiritual world. And then it's kind of, you're given a score, basically, like, did you pass or fail? And Satan's job, Satan is the fallen angel, he's the prince of lies. His job is to make people fail the test to try to prove God wrong. And so Satan's job is to come into this world and infiltrate people's cultures and infiltrate Hollywood and take over the news media and take over people and promise people power and money and everything, but then actually destroy their souls in the process. So these are the two primary forces. And the reason God wants to lay out the future in the Bible is because he's trying to give humanity evidence that God as a cosmic creator is real. And the best evidence, since in this life you can't see that greater cosmic reality, but you can see the world events unfolding in front of you, the best proof of the existence of God is if you witness events taking place that were preordained in the Bible. Specific events, like the creation of, or the refounding of Israel in, I believe, 1948 was predicted thousands of years earlier in the Bible, and it happened in one day. And that's exactly what was predicted in the Bible. And there are literally hundreds of specific predictions about Jesus Christ and the town he was born in and many, many other people, dates, events, names of cities, names of countries, so many things that have already come true. And then there are all kinds of things that haven't yet come true. But the track record of the Bible as almost a science fiction document, like from the future, is pretty amazing. That's what's astonishing to me, how accurate it is so far. And now, if you understand that, you might wonder, well, what does it say in Revelation exactly? What does it say? Well, number one, because I always encourage you to read the Bible directly, you should do that. Just go read Revelation. Read the whole section. And I do that too. I also read other people's analysis of it because I want to know what other people think about what it says. But I've found that my analysis is very different from mainstream analyses. And one of the observations I have on this, by the way, which is very important to note, is that almost all the miracles that take place in the Bible are miracles of natural law. In other words, they're miracles of nature, where God controls the wind, God controls the water or the sea, God controls the sky, like has meteors and things raining down from the sky, i.e. the stars falling out of the sky. These are things where God controls natural law. He twists the laws of physics or nature to accomplish something. The winds, the locusts, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, all these things. And it's not as if God just waves a magic wand and directly alters reality. What God does is God commands a natural phenomenon. And then the natural phenomenon carries out an effect, such as the parting of the sea, or, you know, the winds in some sections of the Bible, or the falling of the stars out of the sky. So this was very interesting to me. And if you read the Bible again, you pay attention to this, you'll notice that God does not directly alter reality. God makes nature do something that normally nature would not do. And then that causes an effect on the earth, such as the waters closing in on the soldiers of Egypt as they were chasing Moses. So God actually has power over nature. Much more straight ahead. We'll come back here on Counterthink, and I'll give you more.
Exposing the corporate media assault on your reality. It's Counterthink with Mike Adams.
We're back here on Counterthink. You know, another interesting thing about the Bible is that it shows God's miracles having influence over advanced technology, what we might call advanced technology. For example, when God's voice is projected into Moses' head. So Moses hears God in his head. Now, for thousands of years, that was considered, you know, a miracle. That was considered, wow, that's divine. And maybe it is. But now we have the technology. In fact, MIT researchers have been working on this. The technology exists to use specific electromagnetic frequencies and coherent light to literally cause an auditory, you know, not hallucination, but an auditory phenomenon inside your skull. So they can beam essentially a special laser that's encoded with the right, you know, the information of the sound, the wave forms, they can beam it at your skull, and you hear like a soundtrack in your head. This is modern technology. It was considered, I mean, a lot of people don't know that exists, by the way, but it's openly talked about now by MIT scientists and others, and we've covered it on naturalnews.com, by the way. But a lot of people don't realize this is true, but many of the things that happen in the Bible can be attributed to God, let's say, taking the reins of natural phenomena such as light or lasers or wind or water or the planets. Yes, the planets. And you'll notice, by the way, if you read through the Bible, how much of what is talked about has to do with the movement of the heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon and the planets. And in Revelation, when it talks about God's wrath, it talks about after God sees what humans have done to destroy earth and destroy his creation, and how many people have fallen for Satanism, and how much evil and corruption there is in the world, and immorality, God rains down essentially meteors on the earth, and he causes massive gravitational shifts. And it says in Revelation, I think it's 6, maybe 12 through 14, something like that. It says that the islands and every island and every mountain is moved. So we're talking about a massive tectonic plate shift. And it says in there, I think paragraph 14 maybe, it says that every man, rich or poor, you know, it's talking about the global elite as well as just the workers, and it even says the slaves and the free and everybody, they all run for the caves. And they beg God to bring the entrance of the caves down to block out the turmoil and chaos that's happening in the world. That the cave, a dark cave, shut off from the world is the only refuge. And why is this happening? Because God is controlling gravity and tectonic plate shifts. And he's doing this through a natural event, i.e. a law of nature. So he may have a giant planet swinging by the earth, you know, Planet X, as it's sometimes called. He may have a swarm of giant asteroids colliding with earth. You know, there's talk about the sun became as dark as, what was it, like a sack made out of goat hair, I think is what it says, black goat hair. So there's there could be massive volcanoes that are blotting out the sky and darkening the sun and darkening the moon. But these are natural events. That's what's very interesting, that God works through nature, because nature is an extension of God. Nature was created by God. So God wrote the laws. If you consider this simulation to be a complex computer program like the Matrix, God is the engineer. He's the architect. He's the intelligent designer. He's the one who created it. He wrote the code. So he can manipulate the code, but he does so in a way that allows nature to carry out what he wants, rather than him just snapping his fingers and changing something instantly. He lets nature act. So God acts through nature. And if you think about what nature really represents, the seed bringing something to life, a sprouting seed itself is an act of God. I mean, it's a miracle. It is creation at a small level, just like creation inside a woman's body when she conceives a child. That is an act of God. That's an act of creation. And that child, by the way, is a child of God from the moment of conception. And that's why aborting that baby, murdering that baby from that moment forward, is murdering a child of God. It is an affront to God. Now, I noticed something very interesting about the book of Revelation and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four horses are different colors. And the first horse is white, which I'll talk about in a second. The second horse is red. The third horse is black. And the fourth horse is described in a lot of translations of the Bible as a pale color. Behold, a pale horse, right? You've heard that before. But in the original Hebrew, it's not described as pale. It's described using the Hebrew word chloros, which is, it shares the same Greek word for chlorophyll, which is the miracle molecule of plants. Plants that are green have chlorophyll, that, and combined with CO2, carbon dioxide, which I call the God molecule, plants are able to create food webs and ecosystems and give rise to higher life forms across our planet. All humans and all animals depend on plants, ultimately, down the food chain. Even carnivores who eat other animals depend on those animals eating plants. You know, without plants, everything collapses. But the color of the horse, of the fourth horse of the apocalypse, is in fact chloros, which is green, not pale. And what does that mean? Well, the rider of that horse is none other than death. In other words, the rider of the green horse representing plant life, that rider is death. And what that says to me is that it is, in fact, the fake environmentalist movement, the Green New Deal, the green cult of the radical left that's rooted in Satanism and has been deliberately attempting to geoengineer the earth, to destroy all life on earth, and dim the skies using geoengineering by releasing pollution into the stratosphere in what they call global dimming to achieve the blotting out of the sun. What sun is that? It is the Son of God. You get it? The Son of God, because God created the cosmos, God created the sun. Every sun is a son of God. And the demons on the left who pretend to be environmentalists, who are all working for Satan, their goal is the complete and utter destruction of human civilization, all human life, the stealing of all souls away from God, and the decimation of this planet, destroying all plant life as well, destroying the food webs and ecology. And that's why they're at war with CO2, which is the God molecule, and they're at war with the sun. They hate the sun. They think that warming is bad. They think that a warm planet is bad. And they're trying to push the earth to be a cold, frozen, lifeless ice ball. They always talk about how they need more ice and less ocean water. I mean, they just openly talk about it, and they want to dim the sun. This all gets back to Revelation, because the fourth horse is the horse of chlorophyll, the green horse, and it's being ridden by death. And they are bringing the apocalypse to our world in the name of environmentalism. Does it make sense now? I'll give you more analysis on the other side of this. We'll be back here on Counterthink.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
We're back on Counterthink. Thanks for joining me. I'm Mike Adams. By the way, you can catch all the episodes here at Counterthink.com. And it's one per week, plus some supplemental videos from time to time, but check it all out at Counterthink.com. And, you know, I'm talking about the Bible here, and I've had people say, sometimes, you know, they say, Mike, you sound like a preacher almost, like you're a pastor or something. Where does that come from? And I didn't know this when I was a child, but my great grandfather was a preacher in the Midwest, and he had quite a following. And I don't want to give you his name or anything, because I don't want people to threaten my ancestors and, you know, the family members that are still around. But I actually come from, at least one of my ancestors was a preacher. So we have, you know, God has been strong in our family for quite some time. And I felt really drawn to this topic as I, even though I wasn't raised in this way, I didn't go to church, not on a regular basis, I should say. I was taken to church a few times here and there, but I didn't go on a regular basis. I didn't grow up in a church family and didn't really think anything about the church until the last few years, frankly, when I started having curiosity about this document, the Bible. Why is it so accurate? And why are the Democrats becoming so infested with evil that it is demonic? So, in other words, it's observing the satanic destruction and evil of the Democrats has actually driven me to God and driven me to start studying Scripture. It's really an interesting story. But anyway, continuing with what I was talking about, we're talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the different colors of the horses. I'd like to give you my interpretation of what these colors mean. Now, what's interesting, I think this is actually pretty cool. The fact that I was not raised in a Bible culture allows me to have a very fresh and independent point of view where I read the Bible and no one has ever told me before really what it means. I didn't grow up in Sunday school repeating certain beliefs. And, you know, not all those beliefs are accurate. Not everything that's taught by the church is accurate. Some churches are just globalism, you know. They're not even teaching the Word of God anymore, some of them. But I have a really fresh point of view as a mature adult and a scientist and an investigative journalist. I think I bring a really unique point of view to this. So let me share with you what the four horsemen mean in my view. And then you can decide for yourself. I encourage you to read it, read Revelation yourself, and you decide. But here's my take on it. So the first horse is white. And this represents the attempted marketing of peace. So the rider of the first horse is crowned a king and is shooting a bow. Now, what does this mean? Well, these are metaphors. So the white horse means that this person who is a conqueror, it even says that right in Revelation, a conqueror, like a king and a conqueror and an invader type of person, is a globalist who has long-range weapons represented by the bow. Those weapons would be missiles, ICBMs, or cruise missiles, things like that. That's what the bow represents. You can shoot and the missile arcs and it hits a target far away. But that this person who is a conqueror and a warmonger comes to you in the name of peace. That's his horse. The horse is white. So he's a globalist who is talking about world peace as he is destroying nations, invading and conquering nations, and unleashing weapons around the world. Make sense? Then the second horse, the horse is red. And to me, this red horse and its rider represents the red of communism and war, you know, blood. So conflict, people slaughtering each other, but specifically communism, to some extent, Islam coming in and communism coming in and threatening Christianity and threatening civility, the rule of law in the world. And so the first horse does invasions and tries to conquer lands, and then the second horse shows that there's all kinds of war and blood, and the communists, which have infiltrated every institution in America, are turning America and other countries red with blood because blood is running in the streets. Then the third horse is black, and the rider carries a scale, like a balance scale, and the scripture talks about food inflation, price inflation of food. And scripture talks about, I think the term is a denaria, which I think means a day's wage, that it would cost a denaria, hope I have that right, a denaria to purchase a small amount of wheat, like maybe a couple of pints of wheat, something like that, small amount. So you'd have to work one day just to be able to afford a small amount of wheat that wouldn't even feed you for the day. Well, this is describing, of course, modern-day Venezuela right now, but also what is coming for America. And interestingly, if you look at the Ocasio-Cortez Green New Deal that works to outlaw all fossil fuels within 10 years, that would collapse the food supply nationwide, and it would cause mass starvation, famine, and shortages, which is talked about in Revelation. That's actually, that whole section talks about famine and pestilence because there's food inflation and scarcity of the food supply. But Ocasio-Cortez is playing right into that because, of course, she is working for Satan. She is a demon in human form. She actually kind of looks like a demon. If you stare at her eyes, she looks like she's been taken over by Satan. Like, where's the exorcist, you know? Let's have her head spin around and she should vomit nails or something. She's been taken over by pure evil. But that's because Satan wants to destroy food and collapse humanity and cause mass suffering and famine and all these things. And in fact, God knows that this is coming. That's the other realization in all this, that even God tells us that we're not able to stop this. This is going to happen at some point. That's what the book of Revelation promises. So there's also economic collapse in all of this. I think that's the color of the horse, the black horse, the dark horse, is talking about the blackness, the darkness of destitution, poverty, disease, famine, all those things. And then finally, the fourth horse is the green one that I mentioned, Chloros. And the fourth horse is ridden by death. And so after all of these things have happened, and I believe this is in chronological order in Revelation, where you've got the fake peace, the conqueror, the weapons of war, the red horse with the mass blood conflict, slaying, war, and communism, and then the black horse with food inflation, scarcity, mass starvation, disease, pestilence, economic collapse. And then the fourth horse is, in my view, the Green New Deal. It's the environmentalists. And the Bible specifically says that death is given dominion over a fourth of the earth. Well, what is a fourth of the earth? It's all the landmass. You know, the earth is roughly three-fourths water. One-fourth is the landmass, and that's where all the nations are. And that death, through the green movement, is given dominion over all the landmass, i.e. all the nations and all the capital cities and all the human beings, because people live on land. And then through that green death cult, they unleash mass death across the world. How are they going to do that? Geoengineering. They're going to block the sun. And then in Revelation, God talks about blocking the sun being blocked, the sun being as dark as goat hair, black goat hair, I think. And that could be a volcano, but it could also be, guess what? You know, global dimming, geoengineering. It could be a human experiment. The scientists saying that they have to stop global warming, so they pollute the skies. They openly talk about this. This is a plan. This is what they want to do. I've called it terraforming. I've written about this extensively. Go to naturalnews.com. Search for stratospheric aerosol injections, or just geoengineering and global dimming. And you'll find the detailed article about this and even cites the scientific paper that lays out the plan. And by the way, after all of this happens, this is when God's wrath is unleashed upon Earth, and then he brings in planets and meteors and stars falling out of the sky and upheaval of the islands and the mountains. And basically, he just wipes out all the human civilization evil, and people run to the caves, right? You should read Revelation. Find out what he says. It's very interesting. But I'm out of time for today's show. I'll bring you more next week. Be sure to check it out at counterthink.com. Thank you for listening or watching. This is Mike Adams. God bless you. Take care.